direct from the Los Angeles Underground. Open your ear holes for The Superiority Complex, a Guano production.
Who's starting? Oh, you, Aaron, take over the hosting duties.
You say that.
I say that?
Yes.
Say what?
No, you say that.
Say what?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is? Welcome back to the Superiority Complex, everyone, your new favorite podcast. We set things up a little differently today. I'm on a different microphone. I don't know if I'm going to like that. We'll see how that pans out over the next 90 minutes.
I don't know if I'm going to like that.
Jake is here. John is here. We have all the beards on one side of the table.
That's right.
There is no beard on the other side of the table because Justine's not here. Hey, Patrick is missing also, but in lieu of Patrick and Justine.
I thought his name was Patrick.
What did I say? In lieu of Patrick and Justine.
But his name's Patrick, not Lou.
In the old pinch hitter is here, Aaron Flores. What's up, Aaron?
Hey.
Let me tell you this, like the last three times that someone can't make it, I go to Aaron the day before and I say, Aaron, I got a spot on the podcast. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Thank you.
He's a stand up guy.
You are.
Well, I wouldn't say my stand-up's very good, but I'm trying.
Yeah, are you working on it? You want to do like 10 minutes right now?
No.
10 minutes of what do you do? Like
it's
basically,
not prepared.
What is it? Like crowd work? What do? Topical stuff?
Yeah. Do you heckle? You heckle with the crowd?
No. I'm still writing it. I haven't really gone to any open mics yet, so.
I got 6 months of open mics. It's a lot of booze if you want. Okay, there is like a fiber or something on this microphone, and it's brushing my lip.
A fiber?
Fiber.
I don't want to say hair because I don't want to think about the implications of why there would be hair on a microphone. Well, I guess because we dragged it across the crowd.
That's probably
that might be why.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a weird thing. Right before we went to air, we realized I didn't have a microphone.
Said to drag it across the ground.
We dragged it across the ground. But Aaron, please let us know where we can find you. I want to hear your stand-up. We're going to workshop something. I will take your stand-up and I will turn it unfunny, which is basically what I did with my stand-up. John Sandy actually saw me do.
Yes.
How was it, John?
You did stand-up?
Yeah. As a fact, just up the street at Ambrose.
Yeah, remember that?
It was still Ambrose.
They did that little weird comedy night.
That was cool. That was very cool. You were funny.
John. And it's always, imagine you're doing just hack comedy work, and there's that John Sandy laugh coming from the back of the room. It makes you feel like $1 million.
Makes you feel like you're the funniest comic, right?
Yeah. I felt like a real Tim Allen.
I felt like a real Milton Berle up there.
I felt like I don't know why I said
I felt
Tim
like
Allen.
A real,
I don't know why I was unnecessarily mean to
like
Tim Allen.
Like a real Shecky Green.
Shecky Green. Oh, my gosh. There's a reference for you.
Norm Crosby.
Shecky Green. How are you guys? How are you, John?
Good, good.
What's going on in your world?
Nothing much. Nothing much.
Did you see any movies? What did you see this week?
Not since Thor. Oh, I saw an old, from like 2 years ago. There's a movie with Al Pacino called The Humbling.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That was interesting. Yeah, it was with Greta Gerwig, who's in the news these days because she directed that Lady Bird.
Oh, okay.
And directed by Barry Levinson.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was very interesting.
It was called The Humbling.
About a Shakespearean actor as portrayed by Al Pacino, who is going through a real rough patch. In parts, it kind of felt like Birdman a little bit.
Okay.
It's an actor having a meltdown.
Yeah, yeah.
On stage.
Alas, poor Yorick!
Hooah!
I knew him well!
Is this a dagger before me? Hooah!
Hooah!
It's my time now. I'm just getting warmed up.
Yeah. Jake, what do you got? What are you up to, man? Now, I heard you were giving an aside to Renee earlier saying you're behind on TV.
I'm behind on everything right now.
You're behind on movies.
Yes.
What are you caught up on?
Nothing.
So have you seen Thor? Nothing.
I've seen Thor. That's the most recent thing
I've
seen.
You guys went to see it. Did you go last week?
I saw it right after.
Oh, that's right. They went straight to it. Yeah.
And Aaron, you still haven't seen it, right?
No.
Because Aaron boycotts everything Marvel.
I don't do that.
Did you dig it?
I loved it, yeah.
Did Patrick and Justine like it?
Patrick and Justine, yeah, they both loved it.
Was Korg your favorite?
Of course.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
You're going to start a revolution?
We're going to jump on the spaceship and get out of here.
I haven't seen it yet. Okay. But I heard
okay.
It was hella good.
It was hecka good. Aaron's from the north, so he likes to say hella. We down here, of course, in the south say bitchin'. That's how you know.
Or boss.
We're a boss. That's a cherry. Boss. That's a cherry That's Mustang. It's cherry 78 Mustang 2.
God.
What, yeah, did you like it, though?
I loved it, yeah. It was like, it was funny. Because it didn't take itself very seriously, but it did have some nice action sequences.
Bingo. And I, like I said last week, I wasn't that final battle. Usually the final battle is where the comic book movies falter for me, and this one kinda,
that final fight was
it was good.
And it's a setup for what? Infinity Wars?
Infinity Wars.
Everything's a setup.
They're all kind of converging there.
And that's going to lead into one of the questions that Michael asked me on Twitter, and I was actually thinking about this on the way over here. The Besotted Geek, shout out to Besotted Geek and Mrs. And Besotted Peacock. There, I haven't listened yet, but they posted an episode right as I was coming here, and they said they had watched Spider-Man Homecoming, and I said, oh, I really like Spider-Man Homecoming. And then I thought to myself, well, yeah, that was really fun, light. That was like a fun, light superhero movie with just enough drama, and, you know, Michael Keaton was a good bad guy. And then I thought the same about Thor. I said Thor was a great light superhero movie, and we talked about last week how superhero movies, like now, Marvel's doing such a good job that they can actually play some of their characters for laughs.
Yeah.
But then I thought to myself, when do we hit the saturation point? When is the tipping point? When is
– you know, we were saying that 5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago we asked that question. Well, gee, that can't go on forever. I think this is the 17th Marvel movie to open at number one. And 5 years ago, we're going, well, this can't go on forever. People are going to get sick of superhero movies, you know. Sooner or later, this has got to just, you know.
And they all have similar tone, too. It's all the more lighthearted, doesn't take itself too seriously
necessarily. They seem to have found just the right balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But 17, that's almost.
Because I'll tell you what, before this last batch of superheroes, like starting with Doctor Strange, I kind of was getting to the point where, like, the last Avengers movie kind of underwhelmed me. And, you know, Batman versus Superman didn't do any, Suicide Squad was not good. And then, like, Doctor Strange was like, okay.
Ant-Man and Doctor Strange were really cool.
There's still some life in it. And then Civil War. I like Civil War. And then I loved Homecoming. And then this new Thor. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I'm not.
Marvel's got a deep bench. You know, that's one reason it's not getting old, is that you come up with these characters nobody's ever heard of. And if you do a good job, then suddenly they're on board.
Where's Squirrel Girl?
Yeah, exactly.
I know, right?
Isn't that coming out?
So that's, you know, you...
Squirrel Girl...
thousands of characters. So if they just keep up the quality, you know, it could go on for a little longer. But you're right. At some point, it is going to... Inevitably, they're going to hit the point where you just go, I've had enough of this, you know?
Aaron.
Yes.
You have Justice League coming out this week.
Yes.
Now, you're looking forward to – and I'm not trying to slam you, man. I know you're a DC guy, and I'm not trying to slam you. What are you looking forward to the most in the new Justice League movie? Because we've talked about it on the show. John and I are just – we're too old. I just want to know – is Justice League going to be available on all platforms or just the Xbox?
Oh, no.
Not even going to acknowledge
Let's just let that sit there for a minute. Let it breathe.
Nope. Speaking of video games.
Because that's what it looks like.
Oh, man. Did you hear the shit with EA?
No. What happened now?
Okay.
What do they do now?
Have you heard about this Battlefront 2 stuff?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Battlefront 2 drops Friday.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
So the early access players got to play the game, and what they found out was that in addition to the game costing $60, in order to get all the good stuff to win the game or get the characters that people want in
Luke,
the game.
Luke, Darth Vader.
DLC?
Got to pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, not even DLC. Like, there's loot boxes you pay
DLC?
For, and it's...
Downloadable content, which is what the new... Basically... The model for the last maybe 3 or 4 years
it's maybe 6 years.
So
it's been a while.
Let's say, for example, I buy – now, sometimes when DLC first started doing it, when they first started doing DLC, games like Battlefield would do it. They would give you – okay, so let's say you bought a game. You play this Battlefield game, and it's a war game. And they would say, hey, you know, you guys have been loyal online players. We're going to give you a free map a free extra map to have a to battle on. Mm-hmm. And you would download it. It was awesome. It's like, hey, that's awesome. Then a couple of companies started saying, what if we charged for extra content? What if we put out a game and then keep developing the game and then, you know, string it out? So now what it is they let you buy what's called a season pass. So let's say I buy Call of Duty, which I just bought, Call of Duty World War II, which was a $60 game. You buy a season pass for another $50. So now that's $110 you spent. I haven't bought the season pass yet. But eventually that base game, in like 3 or 4 months, you're going to say, hey, we're adding new maps. So if you want to buy this map pack, it's $20. But buy downloadable content, you'll get everything that's coming out. You'll get new weapons and all this other stuff that isn't going to be available in the base game. You can only buy it. So now that's the model. The model is we sell you a game and then you buy this extra thing, and they give you content for, and it's a way to keep people playing the game without burning out in like 3 months.
Yeah,
it's not inherently a bad thing.
It's not inherently, because some of the, like DICE, who does Battlefield, and they do EA though, it's a co-op with EA and so DICE does Battlefield, and their maps, like their DLC is great. They give you huge maps. Like, it's basically like you'll get 4 maps every time they drop one. So you get a lot of content for that money. And you can keep playing the game, and it keeps the game fresh and going. There are other video game companies that don't do as well, and they charge you the same amount of money, but they don't give you as much stuff. I didn't know that that was a
controversy.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was coming out with Battlefront. So what? Mm-hmm. Like, so, what is the early reports, Aaron?
So,
this is
so here are your options. So you can either buy all the stuff outright for like $40 or something like that, or you can play the game and use the in-game currency. But what the analytics came up with is you would have to at least put in 40 hours of gameplay to even remotely earn enough in-game currency to earn all of that stuff.
Ugh. So it's like basically what mobile phone games do.
Yeah.
It's the Hacienda system. It's the old company store. So what happens is like
– you never get out.
You never – well, what happens is there'll be games that you can play. They'll offer you games on your phone. They say, this game is absolutely free. But there's in-game money. So you play that game and you can only get to a certain point, and you can't beat the game unless you spend money to buy stuff to help you.
So they got you.
They get you.
They got you.
Now, this is from the Express – Daily Express in the UK. Star Wars Battlefront 2 release date. True cost of DLC revealed as fans turn on EA. Star Wars Battlefront 2 developer EA is facing backlash as fans take to Reddit to criticize the game's downloadable content model. With the Star Wars Battlefront 2 release date just a few days away, fans have discovered the true cost of unlocking heroes like Darth Vader. Hero characters like Darth Vader. Star Wars Battlefront 2 won't have a season pass, but players will need to spend in-game credits to unlock new characters. Uh-huh. A new report suggests that Battlefront characters will cost 60,000 in-game credits, which will take an estimated 40 hours of playtime to earn. That's for one character.
Yeah. Well, I also heard that because of this, EA dropped the price of in-game credits, but then it didn't help because they also fixed the part about how much in-game credit you get. So dropping the price and then nerfing how much credit you get per like mission or whatever.
Yeah.
So you'd still put in the same amount of hours just to get that one thing for a smaller price.
They're just trying to squeeze out money.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They said now EA is backtracking, kind of saying, look, we're going to take a look at the daily analytics. We're going to see what the average is, and then we'll change the amount of currency it costs based on player averages. But look, I'm a terrible player, so it's going to take me a lot longer to unlock something than it does, which is kind of what happens in Battlefield, where you have a ranking system to get certain weapons, or Call of Duty. But that's just – I really hate to see that because I want to jump in and just play the game. I want to jump in and just – I mean, I guess those characters aren't essential.
Yeah,
if you can mod your own character, but
– you know. Also, EA issued a statement on Reddit, on their personal Reddit page, and it's at this point, the most downvoted post in Reddit history.
I love it. I also love, while I'm on this on the Express, it's the Daily Express here, I love looking at the British celebrity news because it's people you've never heard of.
Is there anything about Daisy Ridley?
No.
Dang.
Mm-mm.
They're doing something wrong.
You gonna go see Murder on the Orient Express?
I want to. It looks really good.
Do you want to know how it ends?
No.
No.
Sherlock Holmes is not in this one.
Oh, God.
The butler did it, even though they're on a train.
Even though they're on a train. The valet.
The valet.
The valet. The valet.
The valet.
The valet.
Well, what was
the
that?
The dolls.
Is that the same? It's not the same movie with... Who's in this movie?
This is Johnny Depp, Daisy
That's what
Ridley.
I thought. Okay.
Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh.
Okay.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Or I should say, Pfeiffer.
Oh, from Hamilton, Aaron.
Burr.
He plays Aaron Burr, but I can't think of his name.
You know that guy.
Okay,
Leslie Odom Jr. Thank you. Oh okay. My goodness, that was going to bug me. Yeah, Leslie Odom.
And Lauren Bacall.
And Lauren Bacall as the monster.
Bump bump bump.
Hi Bob.
Hi Bob.
So you okay? So anyway, going back to what we were talking about, Justice League.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Justice League? Go.
I haven't personally seen it yet. I have.
What are you looking forward to the most? Because you're a huge DC guy. And again, John and I are just coming from this old man yells at cloud position where we're just like, there's too much CGI. Where are the Wonder Twins?
Where are the Wonder Twins?
Oh, geez.
Why is Cyborg in this?
Where is Martian Manhunter?
I'm not going to lie. I like Cyborg, but, you know, I...
Why not keep him for the Teen Titans movie that's eventually going to come out?
Because where he started, right?
Because, no, that's not where he started. He was actually... I believe he was on the second team. I think the original...
The B team.
The B squad.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who is it? It was...
You know who would know.
Wolfman.
Marv Wolfman?
Yeah. He originated the Teen Titans.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because I know he went from Marvel to DC and back again, so yeah.
Yeah, Marv Wolfman originated Teen Titans, and Cyborg wasn't on the first iteration of the team. I believe it was Robin, Kid Flash.
Oh, so it was all the sidekicks?
I think so.
Yeah, it was all the
sidekicks. Yeah, because Wonder Girl was... in it, but like the weird thing about it was back in the 70s, it was the version of Wonder Woman where it was supposedly the younger Diana Prince, so it didn't make any sense. So then they had to retcon that and
the timeline was all weird. Yeah. I'm assuming that Cyborg's in this movie because the Green Lantern's movie flopped, right? He would be in this, except that movie tanked, so they had to come up with somebody else, right?
But
because that's who would not naturally be in this, is the Green Lantern. There's no way to justify him being in this movie because that movie did so poorly.
Okay, here's the thing. Here we're getting the Teen Titans. So, Teen Titans, also known as the New Teen Titans, and the Titans are a fictional superhero team. They first appeared in 1964 in The Brave and the Bold.
There you
yes.
go.
The team was founded by Kid Flash, Robin, Aqualad. Mm-hmm. And then they adopted the name Teen Titans in issue 60 with the addition of Wonder Girl to its ranks. Over the decades, it got canceled. When Marv Wolfman came on with George Perez.
Was it called the New Teen Titans?
The New
when
Teen
he took
Titans.
Over?
It was Cyborg, Starfire, Raven, Beast Boy.
Yeah. Hey, Beast Boy is awesome. Don't laugh at Beast Boy.
Beast Boy, I think on the cartoon, Beast Boy is Latino.
Yes, he is.
I think so, yeah.
He's Chupacabra.
Oh, John, come on. Why? Why?
I mean, he could.
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm not on my A game for this for DC trivia right now, but you know, I know Marv Wolfman.
Marvy Marv. John knows Marv Wolfman from his work on what was it? The Tomb of Dracula?
Yes. Yes. He's like pretty much the only writer on that with Bernie Wrightson doing the art. That was like a 100-issue run with pretty much the same writer and artist on all 100 issues, yeah.
Was it Dracula the hero in that one?
Uh-huh. Oh. Well, you know, yeah, the anti-hero.
That's awesome.
And that's where Blade came from. Blade was one of the people hunting down Dracula. So it's interesting that that was really the first cinematic endeavor for Marvel, is let's see what we can do with Blade, a character that probably nobody, you know, not too many people.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. That was a character. There's a bunch of people hunting Dracula in the Tomb of Dracula comic. One of them was Blade, who was sort of like half human, half vampire. And then you had like relatives of Mina and Jonathan Harker and all that. It was sort of like, you know, a rewrite. But you had about – and you also you had like
– fan fiction.
Yeah, and you had like Van Helsing. You had like a relative of Van Helsing. So there's like five or six guys hunting Dracula through this, you know, 5 years of the comic, you know.
I had to find
but Blade, that. Yeah. So for some reason, they said, well, let's try this. Let's dip our toe in the movies and see if it'll work with Blade. You know?
Are those still around? Are those collected anywhere in like big?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, and they're great.
Okay, because I'm gonna check
mostly
them out.
The artwork is mostly Gene Colan, and I'd say all 100 issues. I think it's him doing the artwork on the inside.
That's awesome.
And it is collected. I think it's collected as a hardback cover, and I think you can also get it collected as a soft paperback.
Yeah. I'm going to ask John. I'm going to ask Renee.
And whether it's in color, you know, it's one in color, one in black and white. With Gene Colan, it doesn't matter. The artwork is so beautiful, it doesn't matter if it's in color or black and white. It's just gorgeous. And anyway, Marv Wolfman wrote probably like 90% of that.
That's
that
awesome.
Title, yeah.
All right. So
that was a detour.
No, that's fine. What are you most looking for forward to in Justice League? Aaron, why are you dodging the question?
I'm not dodging the question.
You are.
No, I took it on a detour. It was my fault.
I'm just curious where the cinematic universe is going to go with these new characters.
What does DCEU stand for?
The Detective Comics Extended Universe.
Oh, it's extended?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they just call it the? Why can't they just call it the DCEU?
The Marvel, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. Why don't they just call it DCU, like the?
Or the Universal Monsterverse, which just...
Did
you know that that's not a thing anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that right?
The Mummy flopped so hard that so they were like, nah, let's not do it anymore.
They're not
good.
They're not doing it.
Because it was a lame idea.
Good. Look at John. Good.
Frankenstein meets the Mummy meets Godzilla.
Yeah, that was a real boneheaded idea. The more I read about that, it just really sounded lame.
It was like Universal copying its old idea of like... Listen,
it didn't work with the Van Helsing. That was supposed to be an extended universe. That didn't work.
I know.
Because that flopped.
I liked Van Helsing.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say that in front of John.
That was a great idea for a movie. It was terribly executed. Awful. Ooh. Awful, awful, awful. You liked that?
I did.
It's a fun film.
Too silly.
John, you got to remember.
I liked all the Kate Beckinsale stuff. That was pretty cool.
See, John, you got to remember, you're looking at it from a fan of the originals. They might not be as familiar with the originals.
I'm not.
So to them.
Well, you shouldn't make these characters silly.
I'm going to go and watch Van Helsing tonight.
It's fun.
I haven't watched it. I've never seen it.
I've seen it a handful of times, and I think we have the DVD of it.
John has crapped on it so much over the years that I've just steered clear. All right, so we have some.
Enough. We really digressed, didn't we?
Aaron won't actively poop on the Justice League movie, which I'm trying to get him to do.
Well, he hasn't seen it yet.
But he won't. He knows in his heart that it's bad, but he won't.
Okay, here's the question.
I know in my heart that it's not going to be good.
Did you like that last one, Batman versus Superman? Did you like that?
the extended director's edition made things less convoluted.
But you had to sit through more movie.
You know, I picked that up, but I couldn't bring myself to watch more of it. You know?
I mean, it's still kind of boring, though.
So what is if you get an extra 20 minutes, that kind of clears some things up?
Yeah.
That is just a boring movie.
And you don't want another 20 minutes.
No.
I will say, though, that Batman versus Superman is way better than Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad is a mess.
That's sort of like faint praise.
Yeah.
You're right.
Suicide Squad
was awful.
In the whole grand scheme of this current batch of DC cinematic movies, like, it's just...
You're right. Suicide Squad was worse.
Yeah.
As bad
I did not like Suicide Squad either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like...
It was a missed opportunity.
It took me a couple tries to even get through the... I didn't watch it when it came to theaters, and it took me a couple tries to just get through it once.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so...
They should have just removed the Joker. There's no point in putting the Joker in that movie. You should have just removed him.
Well, I mean, the
if you're gonna do it right, but don't do it half-assed.
I didn't like Jared Leto's Joker.
The animated movie based on the Suicide Squad that came out, what was it, 2014 or something
like that?
Is that
better?
Yeah, Assault on Arkham, the Joker was in that as some side plot of him being jealous of Deadshot and trying to kill Deadshot.
Was that Mark Hamill doing the voice?
Yeah. Oh, no. It's not. It wasn't.
Once in a while, they can't get Mark Hamill.
He kind of retired for a little while.
Can you look that up?
Assault on Arkham, yeah, who the Joker was?
Yeah. But,
so that was
see,
a better
that subplot is...
John, I what mean, movie came up when I said Assault on?
Oh, Precinct 13.
That's right, John.
Yeah.
I mean, that's subplot's sort of the same in Suicide Squad, where the Joker's just trying to to get Harley back, but
it's just Troy so unnecessary, Baker. Though.
Yeah, Troy Baker, the guy who does it in the video game.
Troy
right?
Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Mwah.
Yeah, he's like the he's the second best.
Very close second.
All right, yeah. He's done a lot of voice work. Wow.
He does a great impression of Mark Hamill's Joker too. Actually.
Oh yeah.
It's like it's
where have you
spot
heard
on.
That? If like you get on it, a fan thing.
Yeah, it was from a panel. Yeah, it was from a panel, and he read an excerpt from the Killing Joke.
Yeah, it was really good.
Who was doing the Joker on Killing Joke?
It was Hamill, wasn't it?
It was Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, which was cool because in that animated film, they wrote a song for him, and Mark Hamill sang, and it was great.
He also does a song in the new Mystery Science Theater. In the Mystery Science Theater, he has a little he plays. I forgot.
Mark Hamill?
Yeah. He has a little cameo. He sings a song.
Wow. How about
that?
But yeah, Troy Baker is like a powerhouse in the video game and animated industry.
So who sounds industry. More demented out of the between the two of them?
Mark Hamill. Oh, that's kind of hard. Troy Baker's good too, though.
Troy Baker.
How is his approach different to the Joker?
He's more of that dark psychopath mm-hmm. Joker, whereas Mark Hamill's the wild card,
like the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Wacky
well,
Joker.
Not even wacky. It's just
wacky.
He's dark too, but like he's more of a wild card because in one of Hamill's interviews, his take on the Joker is that he's not the same person every time.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Which you can totally get if you watch like him doing his entire run, or even like nowadays when he does Joker stuff. Whereas Troy Baker is it's mostly like really dark, psychotic, very
like a real psycho.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, Scott Schneider, Batman Run, Joker. That's how Troy Baker feels to me.
I gotta look up. I'm gonna have to check it out and see.
So how did you like Wonder Woman?
Oh man, it's the best. It's the best out of the films now.
Yeah,
Act three, easily.
Yeah,
Act three falls short, but that's. I mean, compared to everything else, it's still
it's
really
the strongest
good.
Of the bunch. Yeah. for the DC stuff.
Yeah, the CG is kind of terrible. In the third act of Wonder Woman, but
she does a great job. I thought she was the best thing in Batman versus Superman.
Oh,
I thought she stole the movie. You know.
Oh yeah. Oh, did you also hear about that controversy for Justice League?
No, what happened?
So the costuming for the Amazons in that.
Oh, movie? I heard they're doing like they have to wear like leather bikinis.
Yeah,
now.
It's dumb.
Yeah, the Amazons are wearing leather bikinis.
It's stupid.
So that's the controversy. People were like, why are they wearing a leather?
Yeah, because they were warriors in the first one.
Right.
And now they're wearing
some badass armor, too.
I'll tell you the difference. It's Zack Snyder and not Patty Jenkins.
Yeah.
directing.
Very much so.
That's pretty much it.
God. How about that?
All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to get to some listener questions. All right?
Woo!
I say it with a lack of enthusiasm, but I'm super pumped.
Listener question.
All right, here we go. We'll be right back. Woo! All right, we're back from our break, everybody. We're all caught up. Everybody, we're all back to speed. Aaron's good. Jake's good. John's good. I got a nice birthday present from John right here, an early birthday present.
Happy birthday.
It's called a...
when's your birthday, Mario?
Coming up.
Oh, very ambiguous. It's soon.
It's this weekend.
It will be my birthday.
Is it this weekend?
It is this weekend. I share it with a very, very famous cartoon character. That's all I will say.
Porky Pig.
Yeah, me and Porky Pig. That's why I don't. That's why I don't wear pants on my birthday. It's in honor of
Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, there you go. So I threw out a tweet early on, and I said, "Look, it's not an official Q&A show, but if you have a question, we're desperate for content." So we weren't really desperate, but I figured we'll just give us something to talk about. So Michael Bagford, friend of the show, listener who converted over, not converted, but he followed us over from Rock Solid.
Converted.
What do you think of the Monkees? Better than the Beatles? Or do they get the
oh,
door?
Oh, man.
Or do they get the what?
The door.
The door.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
You know who thinks that they're better than the Beatles?
Who's that?
Michael Stipe from REM said with a straight face he really liked them better than the Beatles.
I mean, John, I say with a straight face that I like the Kinks better than the Beatles, and you know, I expect people to take me seriously. But
the thing with the Monkees is it falls in the middle. They're better than people realize, you know. And they had some amazing people backing them up. They had the Wrecking Crew backing them up.
Their TV show was I liked their TV show.
But for people to think musically, oh, ha-ha, they were a pre-fat band, you know, there's some, you know, those were like huge hits.
Yeah, I would have to say that, Michael. I don't think – this is going to be weird sounding for me. I don't think they're better than the Beatles.
Yeah.
But I think they're – like, you're right. They're better than people give them credit for.
Right. Like, they're better than,
it's great
Hermit's Hermits.
Yeah.
Know?
It's great pop music.
It really is. And the reason it sounds so good is because they got the Wrecking Crew behind them, you know, guitar, bass, drums, that's all. It's Hal Blaine.
And they could sing. Yeah. I mean, they weren't, it's not like they were bad singers.
And the other thing was they had the top songwriters of the day writing those songs. I'm a Believer was Neil Diamond, you know, wrote that. Boyce and Hart did the
I'm a Believer.
Last Train to Clarksville. So they had the top, I think they had access to all the people in the Don Kirshner building.
Oh, okay.
Like all these old Brill building people. They're writing all this stuff. They're the top songwriters of the time. They're writing stuff specifically for the Monkees, which is why a lot of that stuff, a lot of those things were hits. They were like number one hits, you know. They're like neck and neck with the Beatles, like 65, 66. Those albums, they're like neck and neck with the Beatles. So not better than, but certainly better than.
Yeah, selling.
Certainly better than people would think.
I mean, it's not Jerry and the Pacemakers.
It's not Herman's Hermits. It's not
Gary U.S. Bonds.
It's not Freddie and the Dreamers.
What was Gary U.S. Bonds' big hit?
Oh, quarter to three?
Quarter Pounder. Jeez.
No, what was it? It was
I don't know. I can't remember.
Quarter to three.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so. Take a look.
I just remember Gary U.S. Bonds. He would always be in those oldies collection.
Yeah. Well, he had like two hits, I think, two big hits.
Quarter to three. He had Dedication. Dedication.
Was it quarter to three? Yeah.
Quarter to three.
Yeah, he had a big comeback album. Bruce Springsteen was a fan. So back in like, I think the 80s, he had a big comeback album. And Bruce Springsteen produced it, I think.
1, 2, 3, 4. That's not bad.
All right.
I have to rethink my Gary U.S. Bonds position.
You certainly know what era that is. You listen to two seconds of that, you know exactly what era that is.
All right. I don't know why I thought he was – why I threw him in there with that, but
oh,
I guess –
because you're thinking of Jerry and the Pacemakers.
I think I am. Yeah. I think I am. John,
And Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
And Mungo Jerry.
Mungo Jerry.
yeah. You know what? I'm so sorry. I apologies to Gary U.S. Bonds.
Yeah.
Better than enough. But yeah, Michael, I would say
I think Michael Stipe said that to get a reaction from the other three guys in the band, but
I don't hate the Monkees. I don't hate the Monkees.
Sounds like you kind of do though.
No, I don't. They're fine. It's great pop music. I mean, it is great. And it very much puts me in the mind of being a little kid because their show was in reruns when I was a little kid.
Sure.
Which is Aaron, is that how you saw?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they ran them on MTV. There's another generation that saw them. They ran them all the time on MTV. They'd run hours and hours of it. You know, it was cheap content.
Yeah. So our own friend Emma from the front desk, is she out there? Without naming names, most embarrassing or awkward breakup stories. Does anyone want to stick their foot in that? John does not want to. Does anyone want to volunteer?
What was the question?
Most embarrassing or awkward breakup stories.
No,
not really. I mean, breaking up with someone over text, but
Oh, I'm. How'd that
you
go?
One of those?
That was great.
That's what I said.
I'm not one of those, but I was.
We
one
took
of those.
Him to task for it. Yeah. Trust me, Aaron. We took him to task.
Yeah,
for
I don't care.
I will tell you a bad dating story. I'll tell you a story. I went a dating story. It wasn't a bad breakup, but it was good. So there was a time when I was single for a while, and I was enjoying being single. I came out of a bad relationship, and I was just enjoying just not. I was hanging out with my friends and not being, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Not tied down.
But
whipped.
Not whipped. Not being beholden to anyone.
Whipped.
Yeah, exactly. So this older couple I knew kept trying to fix me up with their daughter. Like, you should go out with our daughter. You'd be great. She would love you. You know, you go out with her. And then some friends of theirs were like, hey, yeah, their daughter's great. You should go out with her. I said, all right, I'm going to take this girl out on a date. Mm. So I take this girl, and God, there's no way she's listening, but I know somebody who still knows her. So anyway,
vague as possible.
It was the worst date ever. It was just awkward. We just didn't have anything in common. She was very nice. She was very, very nice. But we got back to her. We just didn't have anything in common. And I could tell she just was not
interesting.
Like, we were, she it was friendly. She was fine. Mm-hmm. She was
nothing
nice
to talk about.
We had nothing to talk about. There was nothing in common.
So it dragged. I'm sure the evening is dragged.
Yeah. You know what it was? It was like, I think we both felt the pressure of everyone saying, you're really going to like this person. You're really going to like this person. And trust me, I'm sure she was let down. Because, you know, she probably wanted to talk about important things, and I'm like, hey, so you think if they ever make another Star Wars trilogy, Luke will have a different colored lightsaber?
True story.
I think he's more of a yellow than
yeah.
True story.
So, you know, this is back in like the 90s.
How
so,
do you think a womp rat is?
Yeah, exactly.
She's all check, please.
Yeah,
check,
so,
like,
you know,
this thing I got.
Just, we just didn't have anything in common. So we go back to her house, and I drop her off, and her brother happens to be there.
No.
And her brother comes out, and he's got a trumpet in his hand. I'm like, oh, hey, that's cool. I was like, you play the trumpet? He's like, yeah, man. I go, what do you play? He's like, oh, I play mostly jazz. And my ears perk up. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, cool, man. Who do you like? And so we just started going back and forth about jazz. So I was like, hey, I got a bunch of stuff out in the garage. Like, you want to? So I ended the date going into the garage with her brother and just listening to jazz records on vinyl till like 2 in the morning.
That's
and her
awesome.
Brother and I ended up staying friends.
Wow. So you went on a date with her brother.
I essentially went on a date with her brother.
Wow.
This guy had an awesome record collection. We were just like firing stuff back and forth.
Wow.
And it was one of those things where he didn't know anybody his age who liked the music. And so it's just one of those things, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always felt bad later on because I would.
Why?
I ran into her a couple of times and it was just kind of an awkward, like, hello. But it was never like a, you know, I don't think it clicked the way everybody wanted it to click.
Yeah.
Everybody else wanted it to click. And, you know, I'm sure she's done very well without me, you know, but that's probably the most.
Life's miserable without you.
I don't really have any awkward breakup.
It's not awkward. That's awesome.
I've been dumped. I mean, you know, we've all been dumped, right?
Never.
Never?
No.
Have you always done the breaking up?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I know.
You're overdue.
Well, that was a mutual. Well, the first one was a mutual thing.
Look at John's like, you're overdue.
Second one was yes.
I mean, yes, I know that breaking up is hard to do.
Dabby doom, dabby doo wah wah.
Who is that, John?
I don't know. It's Neil Sedaka or something.
That is kind of a good song, though.
No, it's not. It's breaking up is hard to do.
It's not a bad song, though.
Neil freaking Sedaka.
I'm gonna look it up.
It's
not a bad. I'm not gonna lie.
Remember, he did that slow version.
And it speaks. And it speaks the truth. It does.
It is Neil Sedaka.
I like how it was very. It was just very like. It's probably Neil Sedaka.
I wish I'd never revealed it because now Morgan's gonna be all, hey, there he is. Hey,
let's listen to it.
Hey, Calendar Girl, and
is he a new Calendar Girl too? Come on, John. That's kind of.
Now, what you don't know is this was eventually covered by Metallica.
Really?
No.
Come on, John.
Don't you leave my heart for me. If you go, then I'll
for those of you who can't see it, Jake is basically doing, like, he's doing the white man's overbite while John is next to him with a chair, mimicking suicide. Come on, John, that's don't you want to sing along? It's okay. Here, let me clarify. It's not a good song, but it's catchy as hell. You're gonna be singing it. You're gonna be singing it later on.
It's one of those.
Yeah. What did you think of that, Aaron? You're a young cat.
It's one of those. Like, too nasally.
For me. He's like, it's hard to believe that was music.
He's not a good singer.
You're like, that passed for music.
He's not a good singer.
Oh God.
Sounds like he's just.
You know what that is? That's post. That's like post Elvis in the Army music.
Yeah.
That's what, so Elvis is in the, you know, it's the old mantra. Elvis is in the Army. Buddy Holly's dead. Chuck Berry's in jail. Jerry Lee Lewis is banned. Little Richard joins the Ministry. So that's how we get Fabian, Neil Sedaka, Frankie Avalon. There's nothing
no
left.
One here.
All the real rock and rollers are out.
That's why you always say that you and you always bring that up, John. That's why we needed the Beatles, because the Beatles came in at that time.
It's sort of a short roster. You do have people doing rock and roll before the Beatles, but all the heavyweights are pretty much out of the picture between, say, like, you know, 60 and 64. It's, you know, there's not much going on.
Come a dum doobie doo dum dum. Come a dum.
I will say,
doobie, doo, dum,
Karma Chameleon.
I will say,
breaking up is hard to do.
I do like Frankie Avalon though.
What do you think about Frankie Avalon, John?
No comment.
But I'm a young tyke.
I have
though,
another
so.
Boy.
I found one on the floor here.
What's your favorite Frankie Avalon song? What about Frankie Valli? Are you thinking of Frankie Valli?
In the Four Seasons?
I do like Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Who doesn't like Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons?
Who's Frankie Valli in the Four
me,
Seasons?
To me, the Four Seasons, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Really?
Yeah, it's too high-pitched.
Let's hear it.
Way too high-pitched.
What about You're Just Too Good to Be
well,
True?
Well, that's the one where he's not going,
oh, yeah, that is bad.
Most of them are falsetto. Terrible.
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
Falsetto.
It's stylized. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in the minority. People love the Four Seasons, but I always thought it was way too high-pitched for me.
Mm.
Which is odd coming from somebody who actually likes the Beach Boys, because that can be a
that's
little,
true.
That can be a little high-pitched.
All right.
It's kind of like West Coast, East Coast. It's like, who had the better falsettos, you know?
We have a question from Beside,
that's a good band name.
Beside a Geek, at Beside a Geek. Shout out to Beside a Geek. Great podcast. We love them over there. They hate us, but that's okay. We love them. What are the pros and cons of recording in a studio as opposed to if you did it at someone's house? Well, I can answer that Beside a Geek, because if you go back and listen to the first year or two of our podcast, we actually recorded at our old apartment, my old apartment. The pros of recording at home are, well,
you can drink.
You can drink, which Beside a Geek knows that. They know that. He and his wife know that. They drink during every pot. They mix their own cocktails and watch movies and hang out. And they get more and more inebriated as the – you know, you can
more
tell
shwasted.
By Beside a Peacock's laugh how much they've had to drink. But I used to love it because I would tell John, be here at noon. John, of course, would arrive at 12:30. And
you did today.
But like I did today. But I had everything ready. I would set everything up the night before. We would come in. The problem with being – now, there are distractions here. Sometimes people have to walk through – you know, there's a studio. But they're actually running a shop here. So people have to walk through to get to the office back here. You hear the doorbell sometimes. You hear that little beep-beep sometimes here.
The bathroom flushes.
The nice thing about here is we have a setup. This is a soundboard that I probably would have never purchased for myself. We can bring in a large number of guests and have them – and we've had six people here. We've had Rick come in and bring his keyboard and plug in and be able to do live musical performances here. We can control a lot of things here that aren't controllable. At the apartment – sometimes my dog would want to go in and out through the doggy door while we're recording, or he would bark because somebody was walking by.
It also tends to focus us. It's more like a show.
Yeah.
Because we're in the glass booth. We're doing it. It focuses you. You're not like, oh, can I check the fridge?
Yeah.
And see what's
– but there's a preponderance of snacks when you're at the – when you're at home. You know,
we'll have preponderance of snacks.
I remember
that should be a podcast title. Preponderance of snacks.
Julie King, who did our logo, she would come over and head straight for the snack drawer every time she came to do the at the record because you know it was just like, hey, I know you have snacks in here.
Yeah.
So there are actually, you know, the biggest con is having to drive here because there are times where, you know, there's construction or it's 30 minutes away. So so that's part of the reason why our shows go long. And a lot of we've talked about this before. What's the perfect length for a show? You know, a lot of podcasts are 30 minutes. I feel like everybody drives here. Everybody makes an effort to come here. So I want it to be worth their while for being here. So I don't want to just say come in and do 30 minutes and then leave. What do you say to that, Jake?
I mean, it's the podcast lengths are slowly getting longer and longer now. They're starting to go. A lot of people are going more towards at least the hour long podcast.
Yeah,
but if you want to do half hour, I mean, you could always break it up into several segments.
Yeah, we could do that too.
It would have to be more structured if you wanted to do a 30.
Do you get people
segments.
Saying it's too long?
It's not so much a complaint, but it's just people that say somebody brought up a good point. They say I listen to so many podcasts. That if I listen to a 90-minute one, that's three small podcasts that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
How
long are most podcasts?
Some are 30, some are 60, some go 2 hours.
Between 30 and 60 is kind of like
average. Yeah, 30 to 60. I try to keep it right around 90 minutes, but we go over a lot.
Always.
Just lately.
Especially with Brent and PJ on the line.
Well, because we have a lot of people in the room now, too. When it was you and I, we'd get to a point where we'd be like, yep,
that's it.
We're pretty much done.
We're spent. Yeah,
we've said as much as we can say on that. But I love being in the studio because it does feel like when you bring a guest in, like Aaron, the first time you came in, you're like, wow, this is a great setup, right?
Yeah.
It felt like you were on like a real podcast, like you're just not recording at someone's house.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels official.
Feels official, even though it's not.
We need to get –
I know because I'm setting up my stuff at home, but I have a background in like sound design stuff and like I have a – theater degree, so like I bought all the right equipment to like get started.
Yeah.
So like I bought like the right microphones and like soundproofing and all that.
Yeah.
Kind
so
of
we're
stuff,
gonna come so. Over to your house and start recording over there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I only have two microphones though.
That's good. It keeps you focused. That's right. Okay. Well, that's I would say you know those are the pros and cons. It's really not one that I prefer. If I could build a bunk bed above the like. In this, and then just come downstairs when it's time to record. That would be fantastic. But
we should have we should get like a big banner that says, you know, can't even think right now. Have our logo.
We can't touch the wall. That's why there's no soundproofing
right
on the wall.
There.
John's touching it. First thing he has.
Just this wall. If it's this wall, then we get a poster of Superiority Complex.
Our friends,
right over the wall.
Did somebody say no posters on it?
They're not allowed to touch the wall. That's why there's nothing on it. Per the lease.
But there's stuff on here.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's because the brick. They don't want them touching the brick. They don't want them damaging the brick. I guess it's part of the original building from way back when.
Wow.
Yeah, so they don't want them touching.
Back in the 30s.
Home video hustle. Which would you rather have on a desert island? The good Star Wars movies or the good Universal horror movies?
They're thinking of me when they ask that question.
Star Wars.
That's so, John.
Funny. That's funny. That was directed at me. I know.
Yes, it was.
I know.
I'm going to say with the wars, of course. Aaron?
That's tough.
We'll let John mull over it a second.
Oh, you have to think about it? Universals?
I'm trying to remember how many of the Universals that I've
there's
seen.
There's a ton.
There's like 50.
I know.
But the good ones, there's what, 10?
It's probably like... Like 12 solid classics, yeah.
And cumulatively, that's how many hours?
Oh, I'm not even thinking of that. I'm just thinking of quality.
Well, those were like when movies were an hour, so 12 hours.
Yeah, some of them were – most of them were like 90 minutes or less. Some were like 60 minutes.
Yeah, like Invisible Man's like –
69
minutes,
yeah.
Hey, up top.
Yeah. I would go Star Wars.
I'm going to say the wars. So I would take the last half of Revenge of the Sith – the last 40.
He said the best three.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Well, no, the good Star Wars movies.
Oh, he said good?
The good Star Wars movies.
I just assumed that he meant those first three.
No.
So it's the original trilogy, the last half of Revenge of the Sith, and the last 45 minutes of
Force Awakens.
Oh, how about Rogue One? I consider that one of the good ones.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Rogue One is in there. Sorry, the last 45 minutes of Rogue One.
Does it have to be the movies? Is it just says good Star Wars or good Star Wars movies?
The good Star Wars movies or the good Universal horror movies?
Okay, I'm going to
pick the Clone Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, Rebels is actually really freaking good.
You're either tired or bored.
I'm tired, not bored. Yeah. What are you going to pick, John?
We're tired of you.
Just for sentimental reasons, I'm going to pick the Universal horror classics. I love Star Wars, but I mean, there's, you know, I have many great memories of the old Universal horror pictures, and I still watch them. I still watch them. If I want like a pure, you know, hour and a half of just pure cinematic enjoyment, I'll pop in one of the old Universal monster classics. But you know, that's a lot of that is sentimental value, having grown up on them and all that.
All right. This is from Eric of Aragon. Hey, what's up, Eric? Our friend, shout out to Eric, another friend listener from Rock Solid. Will podcasts soon become terrestrial radio's content? Discuss.
Ooh.
Say that again.
That's a good question.
Will podcasts soon become terrestrial radio's content? So as regular radio,
right? AM, AM, FM.
As you and I know it growing up, John, now that that's going away, and a lot of it is becoming more pre-programmed, like Jack FM.
And a lot of, exactly. The music stations are going pre-programmed, automated.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are leaving terrestrial radio for podcasts, like Warren Olney. This last week, Warren Olney left a show on NPR that he'd been doing a show called To the Point for 17 years. And he left it to start his podcast.
Yeah.
So there's a guy who's been doing radio interviews and news for almost two
years. He's been around in L.A.
Television news.
He was a newscaster, yeah.
But he is doing his own – he'll do like a weekly podcast now.
You just get more freedom.
Yeah. I think
– Right, and more time. Mm-hmm. He says he always has to stop even though it's commercial-free.
Yeah.
He's got a certain amount of time and he's got to stop.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of some great questions.
I think what's going to happen, Eric, I don't know if it's necessarily going to become content because, in the comedy world, obviously, we've seen guys like Adam Carolla go to Howard Stern, go to a podcast format. But what I think is going to happen is I think you're going to see just the way cable television is kind of changing the way, streaming services are changing the way cable and network television have to change their programming. I feel like podcasts are going to start changing. They're going to force terrestrial radio, if they want to survive, to change their format and get less. I mean, I know it's all about numbers and it's all about selling airtime, but you know, you have guys like Howard Stern who were on terrestrial radio doing 3-hour shows. So that might be the norm. I don't know if it's going to change the music format, but I think talk radio, things like NPR, I think you're going to start to see it morph.
A lot of those guys are doing podcasts. Like the guy that does who's the guy? Kai Rizdahl that does the business, the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a podcast. He's got like a – actually, he does both. He does the radio show. Then he does a podcast.
I think there's a whole –
gets more specific.
I think there's a whole generation of people who are still pretty much attached to radio.
It's generational.
Yeah, and I think –
like everything.
I think, John, the generation behind us will probably be like, meh, so what? It's gone.
Sure.
They don't have the attachment that we do because they grew up with stuff like Napster already and stuff and making their own programs.
It's like albums and newspapers. I mean, it's generational. As people drop off and pass away, people that didn't grow up with it, they don't have warm and fuzzy feelings. They just go, who cares about radio? What's, you know? And really, radio's done it to itself because it's just all unless you're listening to NPR, it's all commercials.
It's funny because you brought that up. I went to go, my phone was having, I'm having trouble getting my phone to charge. So I had to order a replacement phone. And the guy said, you want to look at a new phone? And I said, I'm going to keep this one. It's, you know, we'll see how the replacement works and then maybe I'll replace it. And he said, do you have any phones you're looking at? And I mentioned one. I said, what I don't like is there's no auxiliary jack because that's how I listen in my car. And the guy said, well, get used to it because that's 100-year-old technology. And, you know, he's like, you can do it with Bluetooth. Why do you need – it takes up space on the phone. You don't need it.
That's right. And everyone's trying to go wireless.
Yeah.
You know, first – yeah, exactly.
Ugh.
Everything's going to be wireless.
But I'm an old man.
Paperless and wireless.
I'm still attached to the auxiliary cord.
I am,
my car has.
They're really trying to get rid of that. Yeah.
That's what my car has, so I'd have to get a whole new unit for I mean, have those little plugs you can plug in, those little Bluetooth adapters. You plug them into your aux port. But, you know, then it's battery. You got to keep charging something else you have to charge. And so, okay. Being graphic, do you think comic book films are hurting the comic book industry? Like vice versa? Do we feel like the films are hurting the comic book industry itself?
It's a give and take. because
elaborate, please.
Elaborate. I think it is. I think it's hurting in terms of. I mean, the comic book industry has gone through like censorship and all that kind of pandering type stuff. Like that's with any media, but I feel like it's. I feel like with the movies, it's even more so because there's a whole nother medium for, you know.
You don't think studios. The movies? You don't think the movies are bringing new people to comic books?
They are. Yeah. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why I say it's a give and take because it with people the negative get, things coming out of it, you're getting more. People getting introduced to these IPs, and I think that's a good thing because, you know, it's just like any other storytelling medium. It's just more visual. It's kind of a combination of books and movies and television. Yeah, and it's visual and it's reading, you know.
That's his follow-up question, too, which I'll get to. But I feel like it does – I think people come in and they're definitely interested. I think what's hurting the comic book industry right now is just bad. The same thing that's a problem with the 90s. It's oversaturated. You have too many let's do a million variant covers and let's do this and let's do that. Right. There's more of an emphasis on gimmicks
right.
and mm-hmm. rebooting every 2 years yeah. than there is on actual good storytelling and good writing. DC seems to have a better lock right now than Marvel. Marvel seems to be spinning its wheels. We talked about that last week. And I think that hurts the comic book industry more than anything else. The comic book industry, I think, the film industry, you have 50 years of backstory. We talked about that.
Yeah.
And with DC, you have 75 years. You yeah, can just keep coming right. up with story after that's story. Right. You're never going to run out of stories.
That's right.
But it's the idea that when people go see Thor Ragnarok and they come and buy – now, you don't want movie tie-ins, right? You don't want everything to be a tie-in.
No.
But at the same works. Time, you want yeah. a solid – you want someone to grab the issue that's out and say, wow –
yeah.
This is great.
And if it's a weak issue, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so it's time.
I think oversaturation right now is yeah. what's hurting.
No, but you hit it on the head. All that stuff that was prevalent in the 80s, you know, variant covers, I should say, you know, or making a metallic or shiny or even circular or whatever. It just, and then, yeah, the thing that where you're always rebooting, hey, number one. It's like, yeah, that was like 2 years ago you had a number one.
Yeah.
It's just, that sort of cheapens it.
And the new 42.
Yeah, and people just get burned out on that. It's if it's all gimmicks.
Yeah, that's kind of where I feel like the
industry spend that time on the writing and the artwork. Yeah,
I feel like that industry's and they keep doing it. They keep doing these weird crossovers. And
probably because it does. They do see a bump in the sales. I've heard that. The thing with them saying, "Okay, we're dialing it back to number one again." They always get a momentary jump in sales when they go, "Okay, we're wiping the slate clean. This is Batman number one." You do see a jump. But it's short term, you know.
All right, here's a question also from Being Graphic. Shout out to Being Graphic. Hello, across the pond, our friends in the UK.
Really?
Yes. It's always amazing that you're
people in the UK that listen to this.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Do your best British. Let's I all can't. Do our horrible American British. Oh, hello. Oh yes. Oh yeah. What? U.S.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We all sound like a toff when we do our accent.
Doing so, a bit of posh.
Yes. Being Graphic asks, should Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder team up from now on to restore/maintain order in the Detective Comics universe? It's a great visual style/script combination.
Unfortunately, when I do a British accent, it's always, yeah, now, what's all this then?
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Oi. Oi.
It's like nobody talks like that nobody. Anymore.
First of all, Being Graphic, I apologize for that horrible British accent.
Hello, puppet.
So his question is, should Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder team up now from now on to keep
order? I
think
Zack Snyder should just stop.
You know what, Being Graphic, I hate to go against you. I'm not a huge fan of Zack Snyder's style. I've said this before. If you take all of the slow-mos out of a Zack Snyder movie, you have a movie that's about 30 minutes long. Mm. He did start out with a great visual style. I thought that his Dawn of the Dead remake was solid. I liked his
did
take.
You like 300?
I liked his take on The Watchmen. I wasn't as enamored with 300 because it looked so muddy. Everybody loved it, but it looked very muddy to me.
That's the only thing he's done that I really liked was Man of Steel. It's the only thing that really kind of grabbed me.
Joss Whedon, on the other hand, I know he's having some troubles right now with his personal life.
Joss Whedon?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It turns out he had been cheating on his wife this whole time and, like, was, even though he was writing these very pro-feminist scripts, was like, yeah.
When did that come out?
Shortly before. You know what? It got buried because of everything else that's come out since.
Okay.
The story kind of got buried. So it was good time. I mean, not that it's good, but it was good timing for that to break for him because it kind of got buried by everything else that's come out since.
And it wasn't assault. It was cheating on his wife.
No, it was cheating on his wife. Okay. Yeah. He'd been cheating and then, you know, but it happens, you know. I mean, you know. But anyway, that aside, he obviously can write very well.
And I don't. He's not particularly interested in doing more Marvel stuff, right?
Yeah,
they kind of felt burned.
He kind of felt burned by
on the Marvel thing.
I think he felt like he was a piece of you're a factory worker basically.
So maybe he'll do some DC stuff.
I would like to see what
if he enjoyed. This
I would
experience.
Like to see what he would do if you. I would like to see what Zack Snyder would do with a Joss Whedon script. I do find that interesting. I do think that would be – would he be able to kind of – I mean, but then again, we have, you know, leather bikinis, so that kind of answers that question. Mm. Well, I've said this before. And I know you agree, Aaron. Have the DC animation team hand it over to them.
Yeah.
Bruce Timm and those guys, Paul Dini. Let's see what they can
also,
do with it.
You told me that DC got Bendis.
Yeah.
So –
Brian Michael Bendis, yeah.
I mean, he can write, right?
He can write.
Yeah,
he created the ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I mean, anyone can write.
So, I mean, I don't see why he couldn't write a screenplay.
You know what? How about you make all the DC features animated features with huge budgets?
Just Thank you.
Give them like Pixar money.
Thank you.
And say, go to it.
That'd be great.
Do it. Sky's the limit. But it's got to be good. It's got to be a feature. It's animated.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And you know they would do it 2D. It would be a 2D animated.
That would be awesome.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to see. Something.
I mean, some of those direct to video ones are fantastic.
Absolutely.
Some of them are really
good.
That's
what you're saying, yeah.
All right. So, I think we broke something in our friend Hiddish. Shout out to Hiddish, my best friend in seventh grade. He just did a string of questions. So, he's at Mr. Hitu on Twitter. Why is 45 such a narcissist? So, he's referring to the fact that. There were some UCLA players that got themselves in a bit of a hot water in China, and they shoplifted.
Yeah.
Well, now he's coming out and saying, when are they going to thank me? He's come out on Twitter and said, I wonder when they're going to thank me for getting him out of this.
That's funny, but beyond that, they did this morning. It was the first thing.
It was the State Department.
It was 9 o'clock.
No, he wants to hear it from the chancellor of the school. Did it? He wants to hear it from the players.
They did. They were on the they were on NPR. They were on some live feed, and they thanked him. I guess that's not enough. That's why he did it. Of course, he did it so he could be thanked.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Can you imagine another president saying that?
There's a really great article though. There's a really great article
this guy's
though.
Like a 9-year-old. He behaves like a 9-year-old.
Yeah, we don't. He's a narcissist. That's just the way he is.
It's unbelievable.
He's programmed.
He
that
just
way.
Got back from a 12-day trip where he hit everywhere. You know, China, Japan, Vietnam, and he gets back and the first
China.
Thing he wants is a hey, where's my thank you? Hey, yeah. I got you out of jail. Where's my thank you?
Yeah, he's like the worst
knucklehead.
Yeah.
He
is a narcissist, though, but we knew that when we didn't vote for him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
Just to drive him nuts, they should have just not thanked him. Just to drive him insane, they should have said, he's never getting a thank you from us. We're out. Can't put us back. We're in America. What are you going to do? Put us back in China? Back in jail in China? You're never getting a thank you. You know why? Because you're still a douchebag. Thanks for getting us out of jail. You're still a douchebag.
There it is. There's your thank you.
There's your thank you. All right, so
why can't? Well, he just wanted to know why he's such a narcissist, and he's of course
why?
It's a rhetorical question, but
because when you're raised that rich, he never got the proper upbringing. You get away with everything from the time he was a kid.
He probably never got beat with the belt.
Nobody ever said you don't behave like that when you're. You know, it's that kind of rich.
Well,
you never have to apologize or fess up or face your bad behavior. Nothing.
Like you say when you're a guy like at our level,
nothing
you say
gets corrected
when you see somebody like that. You go, "There's a guy who's never had his ass kicked."
That's right.
This exactly. Say never got the belt.
Yeah, he's never had his ass
his
kicked.
His parents never said you do not talk to people like that.
Yeah,
it's like well,
they probably encouraged it.
You know, you're rich. You'll do what you want. And now it's the first job he's ever had where there's consequences. When you're the CEO, you can do whatever the hell you want and buy your way out of any trouble you run into. Now there are consequences to everything he says and does, and he's finding that out.
Yeah.
You know?
John, here's another question from Mr. He Too. Actually, this is for you, Aaron. Why can't we see the reviews for Justice League? You know why.
I don't know why. Why?
Why wouldn't you want people to read the reviews ahead of time, John?
Oh, no, that's the obvious why. Yeah, I thought it was a thing like with Disney and no. LA Times. No, 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 they don't want you to see it till the day after. They don't want any critics to see it till the day after. Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
That's a bad sign.
I had a couple of friends do the – they've seen it already because they had a fan preview.
So what'd they think?
I did not ask them yet.
I found somebody on Twitter that said it wasn't as bad as Batman vs Superman, but it was still a dud.
It was still a dud.
Mm-hmm.
Because Renee had heard something.
Yeah.
He had heard something. Somebody had seen it and said it really wasn't bad. Yeah. That's not what you want to hear. Not
wasn't
so
bad.
Bad. But a dud.
Why?
Still a dud.
Here's another question from Mr. YouTube. Why are we already thinking of Christmas? Well, this goes back to the Charlie Brown Christmas, my friend.
Why are we already thinking about Christmas?
Christmas.
Well, it's middle of November, so.
Well, but.
How many shopping days you got?
We might as well
buy all the Christmas trees.
We did it early, though, but I mean, it always starts a little early. This year it actually started a little bit later, I found. I'm just now starting to hear Christmas music.
Coast. I blend Coast. Coast FM, like a week ago, started playing Christmas music. I walked in somewhere, and it was the bank, and they were playing Christmas music, and I said, you've got it on Coast FM, right? And they're like, yeah, how'd you know? So, because they start on Christmas music like day after Halloween.
Well, the reason we're thinking about it already is because it makes a lot of money. That's why.
Well, it's all about shopping, sure. Mm-hmm. And how many shopping days you got, you know.
Here's a great question. Why is kneeling a sign of respect and humility everywhere except in front of a flag? So speaking of the NFL protest, that is a great question. It is. I mean, you know, in religion, you take your knees, you know, you pray on your knees.
Yeah. Interesting.
This whole question has been, and what's interesting about this is, you know, you just had Vin Scully come on and say, I'm never going to watch an NFL game because they're being disrespectful to the military.
I didn't hear that. It was Vin Scully.
Vin Scully. But the thing is, he is getting his news. He's not, I don't expect someone of Vin Scully's age to look past what's happening. You know what I mean? There's a certain age where people just took the news at face value.
Yeah.
And you would think that someone who maybe survived Watergate or lived through Watergate would go, well, you know what, let me look deeper at this. I think the people that are mad about this and only seeing it as a slap in the face of the military, which it's not, aren't looking at the whole reason for the protest.
Sure.
Or they don't want to listen.
If you're pushing 90, you might have a different view of it. And
yeah.
that's not to be insulting, but
no.
If you are that – from that generation, you are going to have a different take on it.
Of course. You lived through World War II. You lived through the Depression. Why aren't you saluting the flag? That's all. You're not looking. There's no reason that's going to be good enough.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to kind of get your brain around what's behind this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people who have grown up, you and I, see it and say, yeah, of course. Well, you know, that's how you protest. There's
and
never going to be.
That's a nonviolent protest.
Yeah, which is what everybody's
missing
always.
The point. This is not violent. This is not. This is pretty low key.
It's always the complaint. Look, why are they burning? Why are people burning their own neighborhoods? Why are they? You know, why
you're
are they out there stopping
the
traffic?
Flag.
Yeah,
you know, this
no.
is pretty low key. You're making. You're getting the conversation going.
This is
you're
the type of protest people always want when they say,
yeah.
"I wish they would do something."
Exactly, and that's what they're doing. They're just trying to get a conversation going.
And people are still mad.
People still don't want to talk about it, yeah.
But that tells you the...
What I love is as soon as Trump weighed in, everyone's all, yeah, do it, just to piss him off. You know, suddenly you had all the owners going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, just, yeah, now we'll get everyone to
Yeah, talk. Everyone kneel.
Yeah. Remember that first Sunday after Trump blew off, you know, he popped off about it? You know, those guys ought to be fired, you know. It's like, then everybody was like, you know what, we're all kneeling because screw that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why don't we video cast? This is also from Mr. He Too.
Why don't we video cast?
Yeah, why don't we do a video?
What do we do with the camera?
Well, because we have a face for radio.
Yes.
We have faces for radio. Well, I'm handsome, but John is a handsome devil, but
mine's in my name.
Jake is handsome, Dan handsome. It's really Aaron. The reason we don't.
I carry the show if we were video cast.
No. You're the reason we don't.
Oh, okay.
The question is, how would that improve the show?
It wouldn't.
We're sitting here. We're not doing anything. It's just we're sitting here like lumps. How would that improve the show?
There are some podcasts that I watch on YouTube and don't listen to on wherever they post them. Because there are some things that happen in the studio that's just – it makes it more immersive. Like earlier when – we were listening to that song, and Everyone's doing their own thing.
Yeah. That was
like,
good.
That's stuff that people like.
It's yeah, I guess
real people doing regular people things.
But what I would do is, if I were a listening to our podcast, I would put it on the TV and then work, do whatever else I was doing, and just have it on.
Makes sense. People listening to this are listening in their cars.
Yeah.
Right.
There are some podcasts that it's good for. Some that aren't really.
There's nothing to be gained, and also we would be more self conscious. I think we would probably not let her rip like we do.
Yeah.
It's better when it's just us and the mic. You know?
So Hiddish always also said, some douche asked if I was okay, you know, because the Dodgers lost in Game 7 of the World Series, something the Giants haven't experienced. Really? What happened in 2002? Why are these guys so dumb? Because they're Giants fans, man. You just answered your own question. Don't let them get you down, brother.
Who was
you
that
stay
asking?
Strong. That was Mr. Hitu.
I see.
All right. So
Here's
one. This is just for me. You guys won't know this, but you're actually stranded on a desert island with the other castaways. Who gets eaten first? Who kills who? Who makes it off the island, a shell of their former selves?
Is this Gilligan's Island?
No, the castaways, meaning the little podcast group I'm in. You know what?
Oh.
I'm going to change your question, Kung Fu. This is from Kung Fu Driving Podcast. Check them out. Really good. Shout out to Jeff. Spells it G-off.
There's a pad. You're in a podcast called The Castaways?
I'm in a group called The Castaways. It's a bunch of other podcasters.
Is that right?
And we call each other
When's
The Castaways. It's not on.
Yeah.
Although we're working on something.
Interesting.
Well, I'm going to change the question. I'm going to call an audible, and I'm going to say, if we're stranded on a desert island with the members of our podcast, who gets eaten first, who kills who, and who makes it off the island? Well, we all know the question. We all know who's going to die first. Justine murders Patrick.
Yeah.
Because she listens to all those murder podcasts.
Yeah. So she knows how to do it. So just wax
it. And make it look like it's somebody else.
Yeah. So now what do we do? Now we all know. So of course, that happens like night one, right?
Not even night one, day one.
Day one. So there's our first meal, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we eat Patrick for a while.
Like, yeah, he's you know, he's pretty dense. So he got like a week of food.
Yeah. But he seems like he'd be gamey.
Is it the Giants in him?
You need like a lot of gravy to like really break that. You really need like a lot of gravy to really break that down.
You're listening to the Donner Party podcast.
Yeah. So, John, who do you think would survive? I feel like I would be murdered next because I'm obnoxious. I feel like John would survive because John's just such a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the sort of person that survives on a desert island.
Just
the happy-go-lucky
guy. The nice guy.
Is the first one to get a rock upside the head.
But the question is,
Justine survives, dude. Justine.
We all know. She's going to survive because she's going to kill all of us.
Yeah.
Those murder podcasts that she loves, she's figured out how to kill all of us. And make it look like all the evidence is pointing to somebody else. You know?
Like that bunch of coconuts must have been loose fell.
It's pointing to Wilson. that volleyball killed them all.
Yeah, I would say Justine survived.
You know for sure. The boat arrives and it's just Justine wearing our bones.
Uh-huh.
wearing our bones for a hat, you know.
Wearing Patrick's like Giants hat.
With a toothpick.
Yeah.
You know?
Your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing here with all those corpses? Nerdy stuff.
If it's the castaways.
Nerdy stuff.
So as far as the castaways, I feel like I feel like what's going to happen is Phil and Besotted Geek, useless debates, they're going to kill each other. They're going to end up murdering one another on the island. And I feel like who would survive? I feel like Jeff would survive because he has the survival skills. I feel like he would survive or you know who would survive would be Jazz from the High Expectations podcast because she's used to living on an island already. She's from New Zealand, and I hear it's pretty crazy down there.
They got cannibals there.
Is that true?
Or is that Australia?
I don't know.
I think that's Australia.
Oh. She's going to be so mad you confused the two.
They got hobbits there, right?
Yeah.
New Zealand has hobbits?
Yeah.
That's where Hobbiton is.
Yeah.
Hold on. I think we had another. Oh, here we go. Oh, here's a question from History of Bad Ideas. What do you do for a new Star Wars trilogy? They announced a new Star Wars trilogy. They're going to do a new Star Wars trilogy. The guy who's doing
Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson is starting a new trilogy set in a different corner of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So they're done with the Skywalkers.
As long they're done as with the Skywalkers.
Completely different
after the next one, they're
it's,
done with the Skywalkers.
It's what happens
right?
to Jar Jar after Revenge of the Sith.
How to trash the entire Star Wars universe?
That is
Kathleen Kennedy says. You know what? We should do a Jar Jar trilogy.
I want to see them use the Outer Rim more.
Hey.
What's in the Outer Rim?
the outer Rim is basically a section.
Hello.
It's a part of the galaxy that's basically lawless.
Is that why? Is that what led to your last awkward breakup story? That phrase.
The Outer Rim. Yeah.
The Outer Rim is in the. I want you to use parallel. The Outer Rim. But seriously.
I'd like to
it's
see.
It's near Uranus.
You know what? History of Bad Ideas, they have a great podcast too. Check them out, History of Bad Ideas. You know, anything. I mean, you have the whole, you literally have a whole galaxy to.
You have a whole universe.
You have a whole universe. And they are, let me.
Just base it on whatever rides they got at Disneyland,
at
Star Wars.
Bad Ideas podcast.
They have so much source material that they can pull from.
Because the Empire is still a present threat. They can't be the only worlds that are rebelling.
To do the Knights of the Old Republic. Go back to the Knights of the Old Republic.
You have an entire archive of non-canon to use and make canon again.
Yeah, that's true. I would like to see just other people fighting the Empire. I'd like to see just Rebel Alliance stories. I'd like to see
Rebel Gungans.
Yeah, whatever. Show me, give me anything. But you have an entire galaxy to explore, and you're just sort of stuck in this one little
pocket.
With this one family.
Yeah. So after the next one,
you could do anything. So I'm down for more Star Wars.
Yeah.
However, I want it to be good Star Wars. I don't want you to keep going, hey, here's so-and-so when he was young, like we talked
here's
about.
Here's a Jar Jar origin story.
Yeah, we don't need that.
We need more CGI.
We need less CGI.
You know, they're thinking ahead. We can't do the Skywalker saga forever.
The origin of Greedo.
Give me a race of Greedos. That's fine.
And the end of the movie.
How about a young Jabba the
Hutt? Starts in the bar scene.
Oh. Before.
How about a young Jabba the Hutt in high school?
So Eric and – wait, hold on. No. I was listening to you. Eric, so Michael sent me this text. So this is actually happening live. Eric Aragon wanted me to forward you his clarification on his question. Podcasts are on the rise and regular radio is dying horribly.
Yeah.
Like This American Life is from NPR. Reverse the situation. Take How Did This Get Made? I can totally hear this on FM late night radio station. I think that's what he's saying. In other words, will podcasts be the new terrestrial radio on terrestrial radio? And we kind of answered that.
Oh, like them migrating over to.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to happen. I feel like you're going to start seeing – you might start seeing podcasts that are very popular.
Migrating to terrestrial radio.
To terrestrial radio.
That'd be interesting. Have you seen a
– Not yet, but like, you know, This American Life – This American Life is now a very popular podcast.
But they haven't done it in reverse.
Not yet.
Okay.
But you've had some things like Serial – which was a hugely popular podcast. I could see them putting that, making that content for, I could definitely see that happening.
There are some radio stations that they'll post the entire show in podcast format on their website.
Oh, yeah.
Sans commercials.
Well, they do that with Terry Gross does that.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem likely it would go the other way around. I can't imagine podcasts going in reverse and turning up on terrestrial radio. It doesn't seem possible.
Why?
Because it seems like you're going backward.
You get more ratings if you get a really popular podcast onto a radio or into a radio station.
I don't know. They were talking about the number of people that do listen to podcasts. It seems like it's going to surpass anyone who's listening to terrestrial radio.
That's what I mean. As terrestrial radio looks for more content because people
maybe
are bent.
Why they'll do?
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. That's
we could see.
I don't know. All right, we have one. We're going to get going, but I have one last question here. It's from our friend Jazz. Jazz is from the High Expectations podcast. Shout out to High Expectations. They're down in New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Do you do a good New Zealand accent?
A little bit.
Okay, good. Because her question is. She was actually in L.A. and couldn't make it to the podcast. She was flying out today.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, she was flying out today.
Somebody from New Zealand?
Yeah.
Was going
to
be
– She's on the high – and she was – I tried to get her on and we could not get it to work. There was just no way to get her on because she's flying out. She's actually headed to the airport now.
Wow.
So she was staying in North Hollywood and we're way out here in the suburbs.
Wow.
So she said she's sorry she couldn't come in and fill up our show. Her question is, what would you have talked about with me? Do an impression. So you're going to be Jazz.
Oh, no.
All right? And this is our interview with Jazz. All right, ready? All right, here we go.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Jazz. Welcome to the Superiority Complex. It's nice to have you here.
There's too much pressure.
No, there's no pressure.
Actually, we don't need somebody to do Jazz. We could just do the questions.
No, but you have to. She won't see to do the.
Okay,
the,
you do it then. Obviously, you do have.
I can't do it.
I don't even know. I don't even know the New Zealand accent.
Hey guys. Hey guys.
New Zealand accent.
That sounds like Australian.
Hey guys.
From Thor.
Hey guys.
Think Korg.
Hey guys. We're going to jump on the spaceship. I know they say yes, like yes, yes. Yes, because in New Zealand they say ka, and in Australia they say ka. I can't do a New Zealand accent.
Did you ever watch Flight of the Conchords?
Yes, loved it.
That's it right there.
We can't do it.
It's a little difficult because the difference, trying to think Australian.
If she would have been here, I would have definitely asked her what's it like
podcasting in Australia. She does stand up. I'd like to hear about her stand up.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear about, you know, what it's like being she's gay. So I'd like to know, like, how tolerant are things in New Zealand? Is it as difficult being here? I know when she was here, she was worried sick because all these shootings were coming up in the news as she was planning her trip. So I would have loved to have, like, kind of picked her brain about what our culture looks like from her perspective.
I can only imagine.
And they have a great podcast. If you listen to it, and it's only 30 minutes long.
What does she talk about?
They just do kind of like life, they do life stories. So they just did a two-part episode on ghosting, which is when people promise to show up or you go on a date and they just disappear and never call you again.
The worst.
And, you know, yeah, I know someone who's just done that right here. Oh, no, you actually broke up over text.
But, yeah, I did.
Which is
so
almost
someone just disappears.
I didn't just disappear.
I never heard of that term, ghosting.
It's called ghosting, yeah.
You just disappear.
I ghosted when she called.
You just stop texting somebody or you just, you know, make yourself.
I got ghosted 2 weeks ago.
By who? Do you want to name a name? Don't name names.
I'm not naming names.
But what's her name?
I went on a date with this girl, and we were supposed to go on another date, and I texted her, and I just never heard from her again, and it was funny because 2 nights later there was this post on Facebook, and she was commenting on this entire thread, and like we're not friends on Facebook, it was just on a mutual friend that she was like commenting all this stuff. I was like, okay, I guess you're still alive, but you know.
I want to know who this is. You tell me off the air. All right, everybody, we are going to say goodbye. Thank you for doing those, everybody who came up with questions at the last minute. Aaron, thank you for being here. You're awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Patrick, thank you for being here. You're awesome. John, thank you for being here. You're awesome. We miss Jake and Justine. Jake is giving me the dirtiest look right now. Jake, I'm kidding. I love you. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We will talk to you soon. No, that's not how I want to end it.
It's the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. No.
Are we going to do a show next week?
Yeah, we are going to do a show next week.
Thanks for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Patrick and Justine will not be here next week, but we do have a guest coming in. So until then, we will say for John.
Goodbye.
For Jake. For our special guest, Aaron. For everybody in the Castaways and everybody who sent in a question, thank you. This transmission ends now. Fight the power. I did that backwards.